to say might stagger some of you. Twice over, the Bible says, there is no God. Well, you say, that really is amazing. I always thought that the Bible claimed to be a book written by God. God is its author, and yet you're telling us that twice over it says, there is no God. Well, every Bible statement has to be interpreted in the light of the context in which it's found. And the fool statement says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what the Bible is saying is this, it is very foolish to deny the existence of God. And yet there are many people who claim to have intellectual problems about believing in the existence of God. They would tell us that seeing is believing. Well, the point is this, we believe in lots of things that we don't ever see. You've never seen electricity, but you see the evidence of it, you see the effects of it. Many a time you go to a restaurant and you never see the chef who provides the meal for you. And yet, the well-prepared meal that argues that somewhere behind the scenes, there must have been a chef. Creation argues that there must be a God. The Bible makes clear that the wonderful creation all around us, in its immensity, and yet, in its clockwork precision, it all argues that there must have been a mastermind. I say, that really is amazing. I always thought that the Bible claimed to be a book written by God. God is its author, and yet you're telling us that twice over it says, there is no God. Well, every Bible statement has to be interpreted in the light of the context in which it's found. And the fool statement says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what the Bible is saying is this, it is very foolish to deny the existence of God. And yet there are many people who claim to have intellectual problems about believing in the existence of God. They would tell us that seeing is believing. Well, the point is this, we believe in lots of things that we don't ever see. You've never seen electricity, but you see the evidence of it, you see the effects of it. Many a time you go to a restaurant and you never see the chef who provides the meal for you. And yet, the well-prepared meal that argues that somewhere behind the scenes, there must have been a chef. Creation argues that there must be a God. The Bible makes clear that the wonderful creation all around us, in its immensity, and yet, in its clockwork precision, it all argues that there must have been a mastermind, there must have been an architect. He is God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You might say, well, I've no problem about believing in the existence of God. Well, I wonder if I could ask you, is your concept of God in line with what the Bible teaches about God? You see, there are some people who imagine God as some kind of grandfatherly figure who would never dream of punishing any of his erring creatures. A God who will welcome everyone to heaven, people, is a God of love. And he wants us to be spared the punishment we so rightly deserve. But at the same time, he's not going to spare everyone. And so I want to speak to you just for a few minutes about some in the Bible whom God spared and others whom he did not spare. The people of whom it says God spared them were the people of the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was located in the great Assyrian Empire. It was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. Really, modern-day Mosul in northern Iraq is the location of ancient Nineveh. The people of Nineveh were gross sinners. They didn't care for God. They lived a reckless kind of lifestyle. And God determined he was going to have to punish them because of their sin. He sent his prophet Jonah with a message which said, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Now they were going to reap what they'd sown. An invading army would bring them to destruction, absolute destruction, and God was going to deal with them because of their sins. And yet, the punishment never fell. The sword that hung over their heads never fell. God spared them, we're told in the book of Jonah. Now, why did God spare them? Was it just that when it came to the bit, he didn't have the heart to punish them? Was God soft when it came to that matter? No, God spared them because they changed their minds about God. There are three things that are said of them, three things of great significance with regard to this matter of God being able to spare them. First of all, we're told the people of Nineveh believed God. That means they believed the message that Jonah brought them. They believed that they were going to be punished for their sins. They believed God. Now, it is crucial for every one of us to believe God. We don't hear his voice audibly, but through the Bible, he tells us about certain things that we need to know, and it is vital to believe God. In the Bible, he tells us that we are sinners, that we've all broken his laws, that we've all fallen short of his perfect standard. Do you believe God when he speaks in the Bible of the fact that we're all sinners? Do you accept his verdict on us all? Do you believe it when the Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? The men of Nineveh believed God, and we need to believe God when it comes to the matter of him telling us that we are sinful in his sight. They also believed God when he told them that they were going to experience judgment because of their sins. Now I wonder if you believe God when he speaks in the Bible about the judgment to come. Or do you feel everyone's going to be taken to heaven? Do you feel that judgment is inconsistent with the concept of a God of love? The fact of the matter is, he is not only a God of love, he's a God of justice. And the justice of God demands that every sin be accounted for. You might say, well, there is a sense in which God has a problem. I say it reverently. There are no problems as far as God is concerned, but you might perceive it as a problem. The justice of God demands that sin be punished, and yet he does want to spare us. He wants us to be saved from the punishment of our sins. So how can God spare us? Well, the Bible tells us elsewhere that he didn't spare his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ was sent to the cross. He endured the agonies of crucifixion. He bore the judgment of God that my sin deserved when he died on that cross. To use Bible language, Christ died for our sins. And because God did not spare his own son, he is now at liberty to spare us without violating his justice in any way at all. So, the people of Nineveh believed God when he spoke about coming judgment. Do you believe God when he speaks about judgment to come? Have you taken steps to avoid that fateful meeting with Christ at the last great judgment? So, they believed God. The second thing that is said about these people of Nineveh is this. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. That's what the Lord Jesus said about the incident centuries later. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. They were willing to make a break with their sin. They were willing to change their mind about how they ought to be living. They were willing there and then to bid farewell to everything that they knew to be sinful in their lives. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, could I ask, have you ever repented of your sin? God demands it, you know. When Paul was preaching in the city of Athens in the first century, he said, God now commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. So God commands us to repent. Have you ever repented of your sins? So they believed God. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then the Bible says they cried mightily unto the Lord, doubtless appealing for his mercy. They cried unto the Lord. There is a Bible verse which says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, you need to come to the point in life where you realize my sin deserves eternal judgment. But I believe God when he tells me that, and I'm willing to repent of that sin, and I'm willing to believe that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary died for my sins, and I'm willing to call on him to save me. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The point is, have you ever done it? Has there ever been a time in your life when you were converted to Christ by repenting of your sin and believing on him? It's only thus that you can be assured that God will spare you the punishment that your sins deserve. So, the book of Jonah tells us the story of the people of Nineveh, the people whom God spared. But then there are other folks in the Bible of whom the Bible says quite specifically God did not spare them. It was Peter who wrote about this, and he was referring to the people in Noah's day, and he said, God did not spare the ancient world. Now, I suppose that many of you are familiar with the story of Noah. Again, the earth in Noah's day was so wicked that God determined to punish it. He was going to send a flood, a deluge that would sweep men and women into the great eternity. Noah was told to build an ark. It was a place of shelter for him. I've no doubt that he preached during the many years that the ark was being prepared and told people of their need to repent and of their need to call on God for his mercy. Noah's preaching fell on deaf ears. Apart from his own family, there wasn't a solitary person paid any heed to Noah's preaching. They persisted in their sinful lifestyle. They refused to turn to God. The Bible says the thoughts, the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. They were so preoccupied with sin in their lives that they just refused to turn to God. And ultimately, the Bible says that God did not spare them. Mind you, he was patient with them. Year after year, Noah was building that ark. And all the years he was building, he was preaching. But there came the day when the last nail was struck home to that ark, and the last coat of pitch was applied, and the message of God to Noah was, "Come and all your household into the ark." And Noah and his family went into that ark, and God shut the door. Everyone else now was excluded. They had had their opportunity. They trifled with the message that Noah preached to them. They had rejected the offer of salvation, and then the judgment fell. They were destroyed. God did not spare the ancient world. So, we thought about some whom God did spare. He is not the harsh, tyrannical figure that some people deem him to be. He is merciful. He wants to spare men and women the punishment of their sins. He spared the people of Nineveh, and he can spare you if you believe him. And if you repent, and if you call upon him for salvation. But he did not spare the ancient world, the people of Noah's generation. They were punished for their sins. You see, he is not that soft grandfatherly figure that some people think him to be. He's not going to welcome everyone to heaven. What kind of heaven would that be? Adolf Hitler would be there, unrepentant. Joseph Stalin would be there, a man of whom it is said that if he had spent every waking moment of his life writing out the names of the people whom he exterminated, he wouldn't even have finished the task by the end of his life. What kind of heaven would that be? All the people who'd lived recklessly and perversely, all there, uncleansed, unforgiven, unrepentant, and yet welcome to heaven. What kind of heaven would that be? No. The God, who is a God of mercy, is willing to welcome people to heaven at the end of life's journey, but they must have been willing to repent of their sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus, the one who died upon the cross. Do remember that God did not spare him, spared him none of the pain of that experience, or the loneliness, or the abandonment, or the sorrow. He endured it all, and he endured the business of dealing with our sins. The Bible says God made to meet on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. And because the Lord Jesus endured the judgment of God there in the darkness when he died upon that cross, because he was not spared, God is willing to spare you. So I do trust that you have right thoughts about the character of God. I do hope you see him as a God who is loving and kind and willing to forgive you, but you must be willing to turn to him in repentance and in faith, and we urge you to do it, so that like the people of Nineveh, you will be spared the punishment of your sins.